You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah, welcome to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me I've got my good, number one, sweet, nice boy hosts. First up we got Jordan. Jordan, happy Rosh Hashanah.
Thank you. Happy and healthy New Year to you and to Breno and to everyone listening.
The great news, you know, like this whole time people have been like, this terrible 2020 year, it's bad and not good. And it's definitely the fault of the year and not all the circumstances. But the great news is you're living over here in 2021, right?
I think we're technically living in like 57, 60, whatever.
Damn, that sounds pretty sweet, too.
Living in the future.
It's already the future, yeah.
And hey, we got their Brenicide.
Oh,
how you doing?
It's me, guys. I'm still here. I'm still doing the podcast thing. That's all the news we have this week.
See you next week.
See you next week, you fucking idiots.
Yeah, I really wish that we had we had been recording when we were trying to figure out what's the fucking deal with Cactus Jack.
Yeah. Before we started recording, everyone listening at home who is not the three of our, maybe two of us, because Jordan might not have come in quite yet. There's the Travis Scott meal at McDonald's for only $6. You get a Sprite and some shit that will give you a bowel movement you won't enjoy. Put that, you know, that's free advertising for McDonald's. It's fine. And, the tagline of the ad is say, you know, tell them Cactus Jack sent you. And we're like, Cactus Jack, that's fucking our good old toothless boy Mick Foley getting smashed through barbed wire and glass and things and all of his WWE and ECW promotions. And maybe some other indie promotions that remain unnamed.
WCW.
Yeah, true.
NWA, yep.
Yeah, when he wasn't doing Mankind or Dude Love.
Yeah. He was Cactus Jack. So we're like looking through it. We're trying to find out if it's like legally okay for Travis Scott to be claiming this Cactus Jack name. And I guess it is. I guess Mick Foley's making some dough.
Yeah, he did some promotion with Travis Scott for their Nike Cactus Jack Air Max 270s. I sent the link to you guys. They're just like the worst shoes I've ever seen. But they were really rare. And everything that has this Cactus Jack name on it is getting stolen and put on Facebook Marketplace at an incredible rate.
Perfect.
So, cool things are happening. I'm just too old to understand them.
Right. And I bet you now Mick Foley's making more money than he's ever made working at those fucking places. Just smashing his body to pieces.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what kind of... horrible deal he worked out with the various untrustworthy wrestling promoters that he worked with for 30 something years, but I hope he had a smart lawyer with him, because I don't think those guys are super trustworthy.
His kids work for WWE, so I'm sure they're doing okay.
Yep, gotta buy your own health insurance though.
I think they work in the office, so they might get lucky.
Okay, good. Yeah, one day they'll unionize the WWE, right?
One day they'll sell to Disney and never unionize.
That's the more likely scenario. We've had a lot of things happening this week. Honestly, this has been like one of the busiest weeks of my life, I think. So I've barely paid any attention to anything, but I have found a few choice nugs for the folks. But aside from that, let's go ahead and let's go around the table here.
Let's blaze those nugs.
Yeah, let's blaze them. How have you been, Jordan?
Doing okay. I picked up a new hobby recently.
What's that?
Every Saturday, down the street from me, about three or four Trump supporters like to stand on the corner with their Blue Lives Matter flags and their Trump flags and their bullhorns yelling at cars to vote Trump 2020. So my new hobby is to drive by them multiple times a day and let them know how I feel.
Does your mood change as you drive by throughout the day?
Well, I kind of get really, really mad, and then I calm down, and then I drive back in the other direction past him again and get really, really mad again and then calm down.
I want to understand the demographics of your area a little bit better. You know, Rhode Island, pretty small. Some would say the smallest state. Is there like a backwater in Rhode Island where you have like an enclave of conservative types?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure there is. I mean, it is, despite being small, it is still has rural areas. It is still a heavily Catholic area. Where I live specifically, it's heavily Italian Catholic and and rich people. So, like, we have Republican mayors, you know. We have Blue Lives Matter flags out here. There's someone right down the street from me whose lawn is littered, literally littered with every Republican you could possibly vote for on every level. So, yeah, they're out here. I mean, there's Confederate flag bumper stickers in this state on pickup trucks. But, I mean, and even despite it being like every major level of, you know, from the governor, senators, congresspeople, state legislatures, it's all Democrat. It's all Democrats kind of in quotes, because some people, they'll have a D next to their name, but if they were in another state, they'd be a Republican, like
they're,
one of those.
Blue Dogs.
Blue Dogs, dinos. I mean, you know, another problem with where I am is that people run unopposed a lot of the time.
Wasn't there a big progressive sweep like a week or so ago in Rhode Island?
Like a handful of like state senators and representatives, some progressives got voted in. I wouldn't call that a big sweep.
Yeah.
So, better than nothing.
Yeah, a lot of racists with blue ties out here. Speaking of which, for me particularly, I had to drive out to the eastern side of my very huge state. I live out in the Wild West of Massachusetts, where this is like the backwoods area. Like, this is it. I'm here where all the Trump flags are. But if you
you're encountering former stained vocalists.
Correct. That's where he's from. That's where that comes from. So and like 80% of people are just like that. But unfortunately, 80% of them isn't anywhere near the population on the eastern side of the state, which keeps us a blue state every single election cycle.
I mean, that's like New York, too. New exactly, York City, yeah. It's the same thing.
Oh, my God. Upstate New York people. Oh, Jesus. It's like worse than any hillbilly you got anywhere else in the red states. I promise. I fucking promise you.
Upstate New York is Oklahoma.
Yeah, it's I promise you. Like, Alabama has nothing on some of these people. It's just it's fucking mind blowing. Like, they'll live in like a tarp. It's just how it is.
The poorest town in the country is in upstate New York.
Really?
Yeah.
What town is that?
I forget the name of the town. It's like unemployment's like 40%, something like that. Like, my dad lives in upstate New York, but like below Albany, so it's not totally devastated. But the further west you go out and the further north you go out, it's just these little pockets of just crippling unemployment and like heavy drug usage.
Oh, absolutely. So it was really odd for me to get on the highway for all of an hour and a half and then get off the highway in what Massachusetts really thinks of itself, which is, you know, I was kind of more in the, I guess I'd say like Middlesex County kind of area, just going through where you're not quite on the coast yet, but you're in all those suburbs. There are people buy these houses so that they can commute to jobs in Boston. So we're talking like $1 million, $2 million houses that aren't even that big, but you could just fucking tell from like the cars in the driveway where you are. But every single one of these houses has the Biden-Harris sign. It's got the Black Lives Matter sign. It has this really bizarre rainbow square that just outlines.
We believe in science. Yeah. We love our neighbor.
Yes. Yeah. That's the one. And it's on all of these. And I'm like, guys, this is not the political party for you. Y'all make like seven figures a year. Like, none of this helps you. I mean, I don't know if there's just empathy and money in this one section of the world, but it's just strange to me going around and seeing, you know, a Porsche guy just being like, yeah, there should be less big business around here.
I mean, like, I don't think that there's any disconnect between, like, the mainstream Democratic views and, like, somebody that's a wealthy white person.
You're probably like, right. It's like, well, no, universal health care. Hold on. Let's hit the brakes here. I have quite the insurance policy.
Yeah, that's when things get a little, like, I don't know about this.
Well, now, I think there are a lot of good ways we could save money by doing business with China. Hold the phone here.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, I support this as long as it doesn't affect me personally. Anyway, yeah, I don't think I've seen, you know, I live in Libtown, USA. I don't think I've seen more than like one or two Biden-Harris signs, and they're like homemade jobbies. Like these are things that people put together in their garage. I don't know if there's just like a lack of signage that's meant to go out elsewhere.
Yeah. My favorite is any functioning adult 2020. And I'm just like, you do it. Like anybody, we couldn't fucking get them. So I don't know. It's just I hate the signs. Like it doesn't matter what the sign says. I just there's something about it where it's just like, yeah, my personality spectrum is my lawn.
No, I think my favorite sign is the handwritten "Do not let your dog shit in my yard" sign. That's my favorite one because every time I'm walking past, I'm like, "Now's your chance, dogs, be a star."
It's like the no skateboarding sign. You're gonna do a kickflip in front of that motherfucker.
Absolutely, I'm gonna kickflip and I'm gonna shatter my pelvis, and it'll be worth it because I stuck it to the man.
I'm gonna kickflip my dog's turd right onto your lawn.
Anyway, that's why were you out out past the Okies of Massachusetts?
So my wife is was taking part in this certified naturalist program. She's going to become a certified naturalist where she can teach classes about natural things like mushrooms and all that sorts of other stuff, or she can write books on it and just have that cool little tagline by her name so that she can be very seriously a nature person.
So knowing which things that I can eat that I find in the wild and which will kill me.
She actually really fucking hates that.
Really?
Like when they go out for nature walks, there's always these fucking people who have to just go through nature and find out which thing can I put in my cavernous maw? How can nature benefit society on the most personal level for me? And it's just, you know, it's not the point, bro.
Because that's the thing I'm most interested in.
Right. And that's what everyone in a fucking handkerchief out in the wild in their jorts and their Merrill hiking shoes. Like everyone's just like, which mushroom can I eat and which one will poison me to a point that will give me some kind of healing property that I can make up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do out in nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Bee venom, it's great. It fixes everything. So we can, speaking of venom, we can get back into metal stuff. This is a metal show. Let's do the metal thing. We're 13 minutes in. Thank you for sticking with us and our personal stories for the day. There's going to be metal things to happen. Let's get into the metal.
Hey, you know, I got some fairly big news coming out of, really one of the titans of death metal. I don't think we've checked in on in a little while. Did you know that 6 Feet Under is back?
No.
And better than ever.
No.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. 6 Feet Under is, you know, set to make a big comeback record with Nightmares of the Decomposed, their 13th original studio album. So, you know, you can't really count the Graveyard Classics in the mix. If you count those, they're somewhere around 4,000. 5,000 records.
Purple Haze, in my brain.
But this is a pretty big record here because the band has added Jack Owen to the lineup. Jack Owen, who you will remember, has spent I don't know, like 25 years in Cannibal Corpse before switching over to playing in Deicide from 2004 to 2016. So this guy, he knows a little something about a very particular era of death metal, and he's played in it for a long time. So I think the thinking is that, you know, by adding this guy to the lineup, 6 Feet Under is going to get that burnished songwriting credibility that has, you know, kind of been a little outside of their grasp for a little while. I don't know. Do you think that'll do it? Do you think that's going to be make this the top selling record of 2020?
Well, I got to say, if you have that kind of career commitment on your resume as anything, let alone a death metal guitarist, that's just positive. You know, if you're going to be in a band for 20 years and then 2004 to 2016, I mean, you really should try to for the benefit of any given interview you have is stay with a job regardless of how much you're mistreated over decades or more. So, yeah, good on him. And I'm really excited for what 6 Feet Under will become capable of with a guy who just has, you know, such commitment to his work.
Well, we got this single here, Zodiac. Upon opening this, it's apparent that there's something a little off. If you'll notice, with this particular video that, it appears that Metal Blade Records has turned off comments on YouTube.
Why would they do that?
You know, I don't know. I can't see what people have to say. I would be able to tell you otherwise. But right now we're looking at a current, records on this are 1.4K thumbs up. Vis-a-vis 2.4K thumbs down. So is that a good sign?
Bit of a ratio.
I don't know. What do you think about this one, Jordan? Have you given this one a listen yet?
It's a bad song. And that covers a lot of ground for 6 Feet Under, who, I don't know. I suppose people out there like them. Someone somewhere. Like, the song I know the most by them is probably, like most other people, it's America the Brutal. Right. And that song is light years ahead of Zodiac.
just to give you some perspective, some context here. Yes, America the Brutal, that is light years ahead.
I mean, Zodiac. That had a steady beat. There was a cadence of some sorts.
No war.
And on this song, it sounds like Chris Barnes is very much out of breath and no. Knowing how much we know of him and how much he loves marijuana, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, I think at some point over the years he could have maybe switched to edibles to provide, you know, to protect that golden voice.
Well, that's not fun.
Diet sticky icky.
Yeah, but instead it's just 24/7 knife hits, and as a result, his vocal performance is like a death metal Stevie from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ask me how, but I've, like, from fixing computers in random people's homes, like, I've kind of hung around with people who've been, like, longtime stoners for a bit. And that is, like, a smoker's cough like no other. That shit just coats your airways in ways that tobacco just can't quite compete with.
Now, I would like you to consult with your wife on this one, because I believe that marijuana is natural.
Yeah. Marijuana, and well, so is tobacco. It's just a little more wacky on that end. Just the resin, and oh man, now they got these kids vaping it. Holy shit, dude.
Oh, that's probably safe. That's probably fine.
Probably okay. Just let's put it in a fucking totally unregulated thumb drive and just load you up.
I don't know. I was joking around with a guy on Twitter the other day, you know, people were talking shit about the kids' music these days, and he was like, it's not that bad. Have you ever heard America the Brutal? And my immediate thought was like, that's not even Chris Barnes' worst song. Like,
might be one of their best.
Yeah, seriously.
Do you guys remember the music video for that?
It was all the cutout dolls and stuff.
Oh, there's like a point where there's just like this photo of planet Earth, and then it just randomly gets holes dotting through it that I can only assume are bullet holes that are just like a perfect jet black, and then just an absolute MS Paint graphic of just like that perfect crayon red just like comes out of the bullet holes of Earth.
That's like the defining feature of 6 Feet Under. It's just like the most half-assed effort, and yet they have a devoted following.
Hey, people love 6 Feet Under. Well,
they've been on one of the biggest metal labels for years.
Yeah, and people, like the old school guys, they buy every 6 Feet Under record, every one of them, even the bad ones.
The guy I was talking about with the ball chain necklace and the super bald head and the ginger chin beard and the like just overwashed baggy t-shirt and the camo pants and everything, that overwashed baggy t-shirt, that's a 6 Feet Under shirt.
Yep.
That's that guy.
That's it. Do you remember Chris Barnes' short-lived project, I Hate?
You like to bring it up most times we talk about him, so yeah.
I love it so much. Every time I think about Chris Barnes, I go back and listen to I Hate, because it's like, you know, named for like an Apple product. And one of the videos for this, you know, released on like your fucking Sony Handycam, the tale of like a woman cheats on this guy, so he tortures and murders her, which, like, you know, I guess fairly well-trod ground for a death metal project. But I love going through and reading the comments. Is like, man, this is my favorite Chris Barnes joint. Like, this shit rips so hard. It's recorded in GarageBand. Nobody bothered to mix or master it.
Oh, man, it's fucking terrible. I mean, listening to Zodiac, it's pretty par for the course of my expectations for 6 Feet Under. I'm surprised there's actually shock among the community of how bad it is this time.
It's, I don't know, man. Chris Barnes is a font of joy. If you can go back and listen to the interview we did with him.
That's great, because he blocked everybody on Twitter. He hates you guys, like, from that perspective, but you were just like, hey, how about an interview? And he was like, sure, man, and fucking showed up for an hour long and just wheezed for you guys.
It's not a bad interview either.
It's
on YouTube. It's like one of our most viewed interviews on YouTube.
No, the audio is kind of fucked up at one point because he's like cleaning his bong in the middle of talking to us.
Well, what can you expect?
I mean, got to keep it clean. You don't want to ruin your vocals.
You think he did this in one take?
Absolutely. Somebody put it in the social club. It's like a little joke, like producer, like, Chris, do you want to give that vocal a second take? Chris Barnes, no.
Now, not only did he do that in one take, he probably just put like one big fat nug in his bong there and just ripped that bad boy in one take. And, you know, that's what he does. It's one take of the nug. And then one take of the song. And then that's how they record the album. It's back and forth there.
I really, really, really hate smoking weed. Like, it puts me in a terrible place that I stay in for a long time. And I just can't imagine, like, living your life for 35 years in that place.
Yeah, I quit weed quite recently because... my latest job, they're super conservative sticklers about that sort of stuff. And in Massachusetts, even though it's totally legal to smoke, you could still fire people for it just completely at your leisure with no restriction whatsoever. If it's in your system, you're gone, kind of thing. So, yeah, it's just the kind of place where it's very easy to get hurt. And if you have to do any kind of workman's comp, you will get drug tested. So it's just not worth the risk. So I've quit recently. And I do miss it a lot, but it's not good for you. It's like I have really great experience that if I were to have like a potential child or something, like I would know what to say to them if I caught them with weed, just because it's just like, it's such bullshit. All the nice alternative health things you hear about it are all wrong and made up just blogger trash online. It's not good for you. It wastes your life. It wastes your time. It makes you stupider. It's just how it is.
I learned from watching you.
Yeah, it's a lot of that. It's like a dumb drug. And I get it. It's fun. And you can hang out with your boys on Saturday and smoke it. But I was a complete fucking hesher for like 30 days out of the month. I would just be high. And it's you're such an idiot. And you're so boring. And you're just escaping shit that you should be fixing when you smoke it.
I'm going to send you some Throwdown CDs after this.
Thanks, bro.
I, I was just thinking, if you want to go back to it, I'll just mail you a bag of clean piss.
I'm gonna get a fucking, I'm gonna get a letter jacket style X on both hands, and we're gonna do this real, bro. And I'm gonna hold a beer while I have it, you know, just completely oblivious, like I see at most hardcore shows.
Somebody posted a picture of shit. What is fuck? Damn it, my brain's stupid. Fuck.
It's all that weed.
No, it's other drugs that make me much stupider. Fuck, I can't remember the name of the band, and now I can't tell the story, and I fucked up the show.
You're going to think about this sleeping at night for the next 7 years.
Yeah, that's true.
We're continuing this until you figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just going to wait.
Oh my god, okay, they were fucking...
breathe in silence.
Vegan straight edge band in the late 90s, and then they started doing like the cool scene hair and sounding like Marilyn Manson. Does that sound familiar?
Wow. 18 Visions?
In this
18
moment.
Visions!
Yeah.
Which they think the vocalist was originally in Throwdown.
Holy shit, it's circular. Yeah, I saw a picture of those guys from the very early days where they're, you know, they're all shirtless, they're, you know, fragile little bird chests lined up next to each other. They all have huge, huge straight edge tattoos across their tiny little torsos. And I just wonder if, like, in any time in the years since, those guys have been like, maybe I would like to drink one beer.
That's probably what happened. That's how they went the Marilyn Manson route. That's just what happens to those bands. The moment you get a swoopy haircut, it's booze time.
I might have the history wrong on this, but I think that one of the guys in that band was like a hairdresser. So like, yeah, like, so he started like cutting his hair that way and cut everybody else's hair that way. And then it was like a whole, that was like 10 years of music history.
I just like the idea of the hardcore vocalist hairstylist guy, like just something like this, like, come on over, bro. I'm going to give you a sick haircut.
I think they're from California, so.
Oh, it doesn't matter where you're from in hardcore. It's like you have like a fucking lower western eastern Massachusetts accent. It's like, I'm from the southwest North Dakota hardcore scene.
Everybody sounds like Darby Crash.
Everybody sounds like JFK from Clone High.
What is Clone High?
Clone High is an early 2000s MTV animated series that was super, super funny. And they canceled it because India got really mad at their representation of Gandhi. Because Gandhi was like this little hyperactive asshole on the show. And that's really just the end and beginning of it. But people have been resurfacing clips of it online. So now it's like people are obsessed with it and they're going to be rebooting it again.
The whole show is on YouTube.
Yeah, you can watch it. Yeah, it's like a 4-hour video on YouTube where you can just watch the entire series.
It's that sweet area of like the early 2000s where cartoons were like really funny but kind of insane.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like that in a perfect vial of itself. Like just it's just pure 2000s early just raunchy animated comedy that and like I think it just, I don't know, it just coagulated into its most perfect form in this show. It's really hard to explain without just watching it.
It's interesting because I feel like so few things from that era have aged in any way well.
Oh, like, absolutely not, because most things from that era like were just, oh, South Park is popular, we have to make a South Park, we have to make a Family Guy. And so there was like tons of shit, like adult comedy that came out at that time, especially on MTV, if you guys remember. Like, God, remember Undergrads?
I liked Undergrads.
I never heard of that one.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was just like, I'll tell people, do you guys remember Undergrads? And they're just, I usually get a resounding no on that one.
I still hold it up in my mind that Wonder Showzen is like the greatest cultural export of that era. I get a kick out of it when Zoomers find clips from this and they get mad at it on Twitter. It's like, can you believe how like racist this or offensive this is? It's like, yeah, that was the point of it. It was very irreverent.
Right.
How about Syphil and Ollie?
Oh my God, yeah. That takes me back. Fuck, was it Liam Lynch? that was behind that. He had like that song, "The United States of Whatever."
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty. It's a cool song.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun yesterday being in the part of Massachusetts where everyone was like, "Hey, could you get the door for me there, Chief?"
With my penis.
I got another story for you if you don't mind.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dive in this for a bit. Do you guys remember Fear Factory?
No. Just like Clone High, that was another bullet point in an era that should not exist now.
Oh, they had that cool cover of the Gary Numan Cars song.
They got him in the video.
No way.
Yeah.
I saw Gary Numan do a set at a festival a while back. And it was weird to me because like I had that Cars vinyl record, like our friend's Electric or whatever, where he's like, you know, a cool 80s new wave guy, and watching him perform, he was trying his best to look and sound like Trent Reznor.
I do recall that. The Trent Reznor anyway, thing's spot on.
It's I guess like you got to keep with the times or whatever, but keeping with the times meant going backwards 20 years rather than 30 years.
Do you remember if you had like the original Saw DVD and like the special features, like the bonus content of the DVD, you could watch that Fear Factory music video for Bite the Hand That Bleeds You, because it was like a Saw related soundtrack music video. Wait,
wasn't that a Nine Inch Nails song?
No, man, that was Fear Factory.
The Bite the Hand That Bleeds You?
Bite the Hand That Feeds is Nine Inch Nails.
Yes. Oh, okay. But they had like a stupid edgy, they were like, Bite the Hand That Bleeds You. Now that's cool.
Gotcha.
Okay. Take that, Roadrunner Records.
Yeah.
I mean, they did an entire album that was just shitting on Roadrunner. And that's why it's like not on Spotify or anywhere.
Wait, which record was that?
Archetype, I think.
Huh. I don't think I've heard that one. Anyway. Fear Factory, very cool band circa like 1996 to 1990, let's say 1999, I would say. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, party like it's that year.
Yeah, I have not really kept up with their career since, but they are, according to reports, still a band. And as such, we have to report on them as this guiding light within the metal scene. Dino, the guitar player, the guitar playing man for Fear Factory, he announced that they got a new record and they would release it next year in 2021, but only with support from viewers like you. Because, you know, it costs money to make a record, I guess. You know, they need a GoFundMe to fund things like getting a new guitar cable to plug into your computer. I'm not sure exactly how this works.
That's probably about it.
Yeah. He launched it. You know, people, I guess, are excited about, you know, it's the same people that are excited about a new Six Feet Under record. They're excited about a new Fear Factory record.
Same guy.
The same guy.
Same chin beard.
You know him. He's got the camo cargo pants. Anyway, he launches the shit, and a few hours later, vocalist Burton Seabell, he put out a statement, and she said, "Let me be clear, I am not part of, nor am I benefiting from any GoFundMe campaign." Which, you know, is kind of an interesting thing to say about a record that you're supposedly playing on. So, you know, Dino issued his own statement. He said, Burton's already sang on the record, so he finished his parts. And these donations, they're for live drums, mixing and mastering, plus keyboards. The production team and performers need to get paid for their work. And Burton definitely benefits from a great sounding record.
That's what I would agree with. That's the take that I would kind of side with, right?
Yeah, I mean, he needs all the help he can get.
Sounds like Burton's the kind of guy that just like brings his microphone to the show and watches everybody else unload.
Love that. I've always wanted to be the vocalist of Vance. I didn't have to carry shit.
In regards to him doing vocals, he's even said that he relies heavily on studio magic, where he'll do one take And if that's good, they'll just repeat that, you know, that vocal little bit, cut and paste it four times for a chorus, for example. So, I mean, good on him for knowing his limitations, especially as he gets older. I think there's been some live video from not that long ago of Fear Factory playing, and his vocals are shot. So if you have the means to do it, use the studio. Yeah.
Absolutely, and I don't think that his vocals were anything to write home about in their prime either. So, you know, you need the full soundboard. You know, that big mixing box that does things, you want to push all the buttons on that one. But after that statement, Burton said, the album's been done since 2017. We even have the artwork. This is for Dino's legal bills. I have nothing to do with this.
Ouch.
Just fucking throwing your dude straight under the bus.
Wow.
Yeah. So Dino has to come back and make a statement in regards to the statement that his bandmate made regarding the statement that the other bandmate made about the original statement. This is to address some of the controversy regarding the Fear Factory GoFundMe page. It is not a scam. All donations go towards covering newly incurred production costs and not anyone's personal legal fees. On the previous version of the album recording, which was completed in 2017, it had programmed drums. I decided not to make that mistake again and had Mike Heller perform live drums on the record. I later realized I needed to retrack guitars and bass to better fit with the live drums. I also decided to add new keyboards from Reese Fulber and a few other keyboardists. Damien Renaud took over production duties for all this, and Andy Sneap is also handling the mixing and mastering. They all did an amazing job on Genexus, and I decided to bring them back for the new album. Burton's lead vocals, which were also recorded in full in 2017, will remain on the new version of the album. Fear Factory has exceeded its limit in borrowing money from the record company to complete the new version of the album for this reason and this reason only. A decision was made to ask for outside donations. I think it's good, you know, when the first line of your statement says that this is not a scam.
You know, I was worried it was a scam, but now that you said it, I feel much better.
So he also clarified, like, you know, I've got no beef with Burton. We're bros, you know, this money, it's gonna make this a good record and all. Now, around this point, the former bassist of Fear Factory, Christian Old Wolbers, you know, that guy you see around, he mentioned that there was a legal battle for the Fear Factory brand. He told a fan that Siebel and Dino did not win the Fear Factory name, but we let them have it anyway. He also sure. said he also said one is bipolar and the other one's a pedo.
Oh my God.
He said insane things in the past, so this is on par with him being.
Yeah, he's kind of a crazy dude.
He's the John Dalmayan of Fear Factory.
Absolutely. That's a very apt comparison here. Although John is still in that band, whereas Christian Old Wolbers is not.
But they cannot pull it together enough to record an album.
No, absolutely not. Dino made another statement here. He said, wow, Christian is stooping to new lows. That's too bad, because I was considering on letting him back in the band. That's like a very Trump statement, I would say. It's like, wow, sad. Can't believe this washed up bassist saying these things. It's too bad. I would have considered him, but not anymore.
Christian Old Wolbers just got the coffee for Fear Factory.
Just call barely him, like, knows him. Call him Crying Christian on Twitter or something.
Yeah, that would actually be very funny.
Yeah, typical of Crying Christian to make up fake news about Dino and Burton here.
Go back to his bad bass playing. I have no intention of ever listening to this record or really anything beyond, like, Obsolete, which I enjoyed in 1999.
Well, it sounds like it's gonna sound really good. Apparently they have to raise another $25,000 to just re-record most of it. I mean, I get the whole program drums thing, I suppose. I feel like after all this shit came out, I'm going to hear like a disconnect with the vocals and everything else going on in the album. Because we're talking like 4 years apart, this shit is going to be recorded. Yeah.
I guess I don't know a whole lot about the music industry, but it doesn't strike me as a great sign for a really cohesive record when you go through and re-record everything, but just keep the shitty scratch vocals that you got the first time around.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
You're probably not.
I don't know. Let's talk to an actual musician.
I hope that guy on Facebook bothers Dino asking him if the drums are all analog or whatever he says, acoustic drums.
The triggered drums, yeah.
I don't know that he has any interest in this strain of metal, but for the sake of cohesion, he needs to do it. I think we ought to give this one a review when it comes out. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll just play it live on the show, track for track, and we'll just talk over it. I think the listeners will love that.
Yeah, or we'll do what we did with the Tool album.
that was probably one of our finer episodes, I would say.
Everyone's still mad at me about the whole like recorder song.
Really?
Yeah, where I just did like it's pretty much just like they call it ear rape on the internet. It's just like. Just like a horrible, scratchy, just overblown recorder. Just for just one of the songs. I mean, I don't think they're still mad. I just assume they're still mad because I'm self-conscious.
I mean, but people on the internet love like the recorded cover of, you know, Jurassic Park and shit. Like, why would they get mad at a different recorder?
True. Valid. So that's it, man. I feel like if one of you guys was to say that my GoFundMe was a scam, I think it might do something to our friendship. That I don't see why Dino's being so cool about it. Like, I would just be like, oh, fuck you, we'll get a new vocalist for this $25,000 re-recording.
Yeah, I don't understand their friendship, but I assume they've known each other for a long time, so you know, Every relationship has their ups and downs, their peaks and valleys, and sometimes you publicly accuse your friend of running a scam.
I think Dino knows that he can't put out a Fear Factory album that people will really be interested in without Burton.
I mean, that's valid. Will people be really interested in this Fear Factory album with Burton?
More than without.
I guess so. I hope he gets his $25,000 and it sounds great. Good for you guys. Hopefully you put your differences aside and you have a good time being a band for the remainder.
Your last album was put out via Nuclear Blast, and I think that might be a little telling about how they feel about this album, that they're not willing to float at least some of the cash to put it out.
I can't believe that anybody is getting money to record records anymore. Like, genuinely, like, what do you think the return will be on a new Fear Factory record in 2021? Like, that's 1,000 records, maybe?
I mean, no one, just like in the grand scheme of music industry, nobody is buying the album. The album does not get purchased. Money does not exchange hands for album work at all. It's all live shows. It's like where all the money is made in metal, and that's been deleted. So they're really just, I don't know. We're in like the swan song of this entire scene. I don't know. It sucks.
And
but
selling, being able to sell their old merch and new merch via their website.
Yeah, that makes sense. Again, like how many of those guys with the red goatee and, camo cargo shorts are there that need, like, they decide this one has one too many stains on it, it's time for a new Fear Factory shirt?
Apparently never, Joe.
you so rarely see a brand new Fear Factory shirt.
No, every Fear Factory shirt that's ever been printed was done so in like 1997. And they just keep wearing them, and they keep ending up at the same Salvation Armies, and they keep getting bought at the same Salvation Armies. It's just a cycle.
The entire like metal industry really feels like late period Enron or something. Like there is money going to places, but nobody understands it.
Good times. What else happened in the weird wild world of metal news this week? That's it.
What do you got, Jordan?
We had a return of an old friend on Twitter.
Oh shit. Play that music.
Into attack. Saying something dumb again. Dummy, dummy, dummy! Into attack. Getting out of here.
Our good friend James Kotak, formerly of the Scorpions and currently of Kingdom Come, shrug emoji, tweeted out on July 27th, "Well, MLB lost another viewer today, .. me." BLM on pitcher's mound? It's bad enough these idiots take a knee. Now this? MLB, for everyone you appease to you, For everyone you appease to, comma, you drive well-funded guys, and guys with apostrophe S, like me away. .. Bye-bye. .. Anyone else feel the same?
So it's James Kotak complaining about, you know, just like the most basic do-nothing picture of, you know, an anti-racist image, and that's not acceptable. I will stop enjoying this thing that I've enjoyed for theoretically most of my life because of this one image that flashed across my screen for 3 seconds. Is that what I'm getting?
Pretty much.
I see a lot of this. I see a lot of this all the time, and these guys love complaining about athletes and social justice invading their sports, and they say that they've stopped watching or they will stop watching, and yet they never fucking stop talking about it.
I'm doing the same with the NFL right now.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware.
I just want to find the original tweet so that I can tweet at him and just say, MLB, spelled backwards, is BLM. Coincidence?
You'll get it.
It's still up there. Go right ahead.
I'm trying. I'm trying to find it. I typed in James Kotak MLB. I'm on his Twitter trying to scroll. I'm not seeing it.
July 27th.
July 27th. Let's do it. July 27th. Is that how Twitter works? No, it's not.
Scroll down past all of his tweets about advertising some live stream that no one's going to watch.
Apparently the top tweet for James Kotak is when I just posted my song for James Kotak with 7 likes. I don't think that's true. Although maybe it gets more likes than he usually gets on any given tweet. He's kind of the dumbest man ever.
He does have that one James Kotak fan club account that follows him. They're pretty interested in what he's got to say.
I'm just fucking amazed that this guy has 17,000 followers. I want to know what one of those people is like in
bots.
Life.
Yeah. Like none of them interact with him.
He has 17,000 followers and like that thing I just read had 75 likes.
Yeah, these are bots.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like I have,
there's like this hot titty bot
followers, but you know, 1,000 of my followers are like one man black metal bands that, as far as I'm concerned, don't exist.
There's this guy named Daryl Jenkins, and it looks like he's, for his cover photo, he's got some kind of washed up somebody that he's meeting at some kind of convention. Wow, this guy really loves like old 80s glam metal, and he's got the wraparound sunglasses, fellas, and you know, he's from Maryville, Tennessee. That's it. Just Daryl Jenkins. He's like the only guy.
There's a lot of Daryl Jenkins across the United States, though. I mean, like fewer and fewer every day, but there's still a lot of them.
I feel like if I were to write a book and there was someone from Tennessee in the book, his name would be Daryl Jenkins. And people would be like, really? Come on. Be more original than that.
Yeah, be a better writer.
Yeah.
No, I fucking love the performative outrage. It's at sports. Like I shared a thing that I saw on my Facebook feed yesterday. This guy Don Boyd in Austin saying, "What a pompous ass! Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, just stated on an interview with CNBC that the NFL fully intends to use NFL games and broadcasts as political propaganda all season long. When asked about whether he is concerned about a drop in ratings, Goodell said he wasn't worried at all because people are sheep and will watch football games regardless of how much political propaganda he fills the broadcast with. Well, everyone, are you a mindless sheep or do you have a brain enough to not watch the NFL this year? Will you prove Goodell right?" And that's, you know, kind of making the rounds within a certain class of people within this town. I couldn't resist. I had to ask him, like, "Wow, I can't believe he said this. Can you share the video with me? I want to show my friend."
Dude, don't be a mindless sheep. Come join me.
Yeah, come join us together with no evidence of this thing.
Individually,
I said
like the rest of us.
Oh, my God.
Like, the NFL, like, is just super ultra, like, nothing but capitalists, like, in the war machine, like, propaganda, like, efforts. It's been that way hardcore for 25 years plus. Yeah. Like, nothing but American flags and the military and Coca-Cola. Like
the government literally pays them to have all these big flyovers with the Air Force and wave giant novelty flags. They receive money for this.
Right. Yeah, it's like the real game being played here is nationalism. Like, that's what's happening on screen. I don't know what could make you guys less happy.
And like, I am a socialist. Like, I hate all of this shit. I find it disgusting and beneath me. And I watched 12 hours of football last Sunday.
It's like millionaires playing catch, Joe.
Yeah, it's fine. It's really fucking fun to watch. I'm able to, like, put aside all of my convictions to be entertained. And I feel like maybe the chuds of the world are also lying about, you know, God, I can't believe that guy kneeled for 3 seconds in this broadcast of nothing but ultra-nationalism. I got to turn the TV off and never watch this product again. I just don't believe they're doing it.
I don't think
so
either.
How dare they change the name of my favorite football team? I want to say the racist name.
It's like your entire... Go ahead. I'm just saying that these people, specifically, their entire wardrobe is NFL merch. All of it. Like, if you're into the Philadelphia Eagles, like, nothing you own is not that fucking gross evergreen with the weird silver eagle just yelling on it. It's everything. It's all they have. And just to be in their dumb hat, just being like, "I'm not watching NFL ever again. I'm going to pull my subscription from the NFL app." It's just, you're fucking so full of shit. Just performative fucking flexing on Facebook like it always is.
Yeah. I mean, there is a hole in your life that, you know, you've filled with football. Now that that's gone, all you possibly have to replace it is bitching on Facebook. You're going to go back to football.
Bitching on Facebook gets old fast, trust me.
I usually like to go, like, do my food shopping when I'm in Patriots area, when the Patriots are playing, because the stores are empty. And I remember one time my timing was a little off, so it was before the game started.
Oh, no.
And I saw a man and a woman both wearing Patriots hats, matching Tom Brady jerseys, and the Zubaz pants, if you remember those from the late 80s and 90s. Oh, yeah. And I've just never wanted to body check two people into a row of lemons in my life as much as I did at that point.
You know that couple now has Tampa Bay Tom Brady jerseys now, too.
Oh, no. It's like...
it's Cam Newton stuff now, and they're going to burn those jerseys the first game he loses.
Oh, yeah. It's treason. Like, if you leave a New England team to go make more money somewhere where you're better appreciated and a better fit, we will absolutely, like, knife you in the face next time we get the chance. Like, they hate that.
It's like when Johnny Damon left the Red Sox and became the Yankees.
You took it out of my mouth, man. Yeah. It's like, and he fucking shaved his face, too. Scumbag. Fuck him.
I did just want to note, though, like, I figured that before, you know, kickoff of the first week that Washington would choose a name. And they didn't, and I love it so much. That's probably the highlight of week one for me.
What, they're just
Washington football team. You get exactly what you're looking at.
The Washington Washingtons. You get George Washington as a mascot. There, done. Send me $40 million. My bank account is as follows. Please, NFL, fuck you. You people are ridiculous.
The Georges.
I want the Washington Marion Berries, to be honest.
That'd be kind of sweet. If you wanted to, you know, complete like the niche that you have going with NBA in town, you know, with the Washington Wizards, you could be the Washington Warlocks for the football team.
Yeah, the Washington Cobains.
No, that's the other Washington.
No. So the Washington Redskins, they're not from like Washington State.
No, they're over in the other Washington.
Yeah, I love football. I know what I'm talking about.
It's actually Spokane. It was addressed in the Pearl Jam song Jeremy Spokane in class today.
Yeah. Spokane, Washington. It's true.
Yeah. Anyway, football's back. I'm gambling up a storm. I'm playing fantasy football. I'm wiggling around in pig shit. I'm just thrilled.
Don't you have enough stress in your life? Doesn't all that gambling and losing make it worse?
I think I'm gonna die in 2 years.
Like your life is Uncut Gems, except without all the money.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, those scenes where he like has a chance of winning, and it's me, except I don't have a chance. I'm just constantly losing, constantly getting stressed out and yelled at.
Sitting on the couch, stress eating impossible sausages.
Back when I watched sports, like I wouldn't ride any money on anything. The only time I ever bet, anytime, was if there was a team I really wanted to win and it was really important to me, I would bet against them so that when they lost, I would feel better because I made some money. And if I lost money, then it was like I purchased from the universe my team winning as like a punishment for gambling on it in the first place. That's how it worked out in my head. I'm talking like $10, $20 here and there. Usually when I'd watch sports with no money involved, I would just stress eat and get upset and like messed up over it anyway, because I'd be so just emotionally involved in who won and who lost. And it's like, these people don't know me. They hold no, like just because a city that's within 200 miles of me is on their jersey, like I think I'm involved. I'm not involved. It has nothing to do with me. Why am I getting so upset?
That's why you got to put a little action on the game.
That's right.
No, I'm like sitting at my kitchen table doing fucking chemistry homework and spilling pretzels everywhere when somebody catches a touchdown. Anyway, speaking of which, I got to do some chemistry homework. Are we about time?
Yeah, I'd say we're about time. And when I say that, I mean it. It's 58 minutes in. We did a great show. Do we have any sort of silliness from the metal scene that we can close the show off with? Do we? Don't we?
No, people are using Devin Townsend's cameos as ads and promotions.
How is that possible?
What do you mean?
So he tweeted out the other day, September 19th, to be technical. Ah, man, I've had a couple of the cameos I've done get used for ads and to promote bands, etc. That's super weird.
So you pay Devin Townsend like $50 to do, you know, what's essentially like a voicemail greeting, but instead you're using it to big ups your shitty record?
Well, that, or maybe even like, hey, tell me about your Schecter guitars. And then Schecter guitars uses that as a whatever 10-second ad. Oh, I think Schecter guitars are really great. And that's, I guess you get your $50 worth. But he goes on to say, because he was interacting with people, I'm flattered that people appreciate what I do for sure. But I guess using the platform to have someone with a degree of influence promote work that they don't really know enough about to endure seems different than that. It's on me at this point, but I may need to rethink it. So people are probably like, hey, can you say our album's out on September 29th and you really like it? And Devin Townsend goes, yeah, the check cleared. I'll say whatever. I don't care.
I mean, doesn't that take like an iota of thought in consideration? Like, doesn't he know what's happening when they ask him, hey, could you say this? And he says that. And then he's like, wow, that's so. Why would they do that?
You'd think so, but I mean, we've heard other stories of celebrities doing cameos and getting in trouble for it. I remember Brett Favre had one maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it's not cheap to get him to say something. It was like $500, and he just read whatever this person told them, and it turned out it was like a bunch of anti-Semitic code words. Yeah, shit. good luck to the GDL boys. Don't let the smalls keep you down. And to, like, anyone hearing that, you don't know what they're talking about, but if you're steeped in this knowledge or you have just kind of an inkling of what some of these people are talking about, GDL is the Goyim Defense League.
Christ.
And smalls is another term for small hats, which is talking about yarmulkes. So, you know, he obviously wouldn't know any of that, but this stuff does get abused. And once it's out there, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying words. Who cares? Give me my money.
Yeah, I mean,
big,
like,
big ups, man, Devin, on the big 4-0.
Yeah, Devin Townsend, you know, he's trying to scrap that cash together to hire a fucking children's choir for his next record or whatever. So it makes sense that he just take whatever comes by. I'm just kind of blown away with the thought, like, of a Nazi, like, scraping together $500 to do his stupid fucking internet joke.
It was probably, like, one of the local white supremacist sects that, like, hangs out in the VFW at a certain time because they're able to rent the room. And so, like, all eight of them put their, you know, warehouse checks together, and then they just were able to afford it. You know, probably like a group sort of pool kind of a thing.
They put their child support money together instead.
Worth it. Absolutely worth it.
Here's a preview for a future show we're going to be doing in October. We'll be speaking with someone who has a cameo page, so we could ask him about this.
Hell yes. Preview for October, folks. We kind of phoned it in on this one, whatever. We're putting together a slate of great shows for October. We're doing the spooky month again, the way we did it last year, but we got some big-ass guests for this one, and some really great films to talk about. We're going to put on our aesthetic helmets and talk about pacing and cinematography and such, probably, if I can figure out what those are. So
weird Italian horror movies.
Yeah, we're going to do it big in October. Yeah, if you want to just skip this episode and meet us in
October. Yeah, fucking just now.
An hour in.
Yeah, you can go ahead and close the browser. But yeah, be there in October or be a total poser. Either way, you got to keep it Metal Bros. And this is Breno out, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Love you.
Bye. Bye. Ha ha ha!
listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.